What I'd like to do, I'm very aware that there's some really old people here, and there's some very young people here. So, and that's not the only difference between you all. I know that some of you have been on the Christian path for a long time. Some of you might not be very old, but have a long time of walking with the Lord. And that's wonderful. And we need you to encourage others who might be older than you in years, perhaps, but have just stepped on to the path to glory, to heaven. This is why this kind of event is so important. And I never had it. I never had this opportunity. And I paid a heavy price for that. And I don't want you to pay that price. That's silly. You learn from us. And then you don't make the same mistakes. And then, of course, there's those of you sat right here. It's all on. Those of you sat right here who won't be sat right here in a short time to come. The Lord is going to catapult you around the world. And that's exciting to us to think about, because some of you don't even know that yet. And we want to be there when you find that out and see the look in your face. That'd be funny. And others of you who are Christians are going to be missionaries too, but you're going to be missionaries not in a foreign culture, but in a familiar culture. And that's not easy. That's not easy or harder. It's just different. And again, we'll have to wait and see what the Lord reveals there. But think about these things as we come to this passage in Matthew chapter 28. It's a very well-known passage, but it's just one. There's always so much more to draw out from it. Chapter 28 of Matthew, known as the Great Commission. This is what the church is to do, amongst other things, but this is one of the primary objects of the church, the primary goals, the primary... it's the lifestyle. This is what the church is. This is what the church does, according to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, for some who are perhaps less familiar with this passage, this is before the Lord's last appearance, but after he's already appeared just a few times to the disciples. He's even appeared to Thomas, and Thomas, stigmatized by doubting Thomas, that kind of title, because when he first heard that the Lord had risen, he doubted. He wasn't so sure if that really, he wanted it to have happened, but there was confusions. There was momentary lapse of reason, and he doubted. But then he saw the Lord, and he stopped doubting, and he recognized his Lord and his God was right there, risen, victorious, and he no longer doubted. So here we come to this passage right at the beginning. Remember when the Lord had been raised from the dead and he spoke to the ladies and he said, go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee and I'm going to meet with them there. Now he did appear to them a few times before, but here they are in obedience going and the Lord fulfilling his promise to appear. Chapter 28, verse 16. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Apostle Paul does speak of an occasion when the Lord appeared to over 500. And many people, most Christians would agree that it was this occasion here. When the Lord appeared to the 11, obviously Judas had already died and gone to the place where he was deserving of in Hades, but others heard that the Lord would appear there, and we would think the 500 who heard and in obedience, they also went to see what would happen. And the Lord appeared. So we hear some worshipping and some doubting. It couldn't have been the 11 doubting, because even Thomas by now was no longer doubting. So therefore, we would imagine amongst those 500 that were present, amongst them were those who doubted. Whilst others were worshipping, some doubted.
And what did they doubt?
Well, to begin with, they doubted what they were seeing.
I, perhaps like you, have friends who say, oh, well, if I could see God write some words in the clouds, I would believe. Or if I could hear his voice booming and calling my name, I would believe. There would be no doubt in that. And I don't know if you have people who respond similarly. Well, it's not true. You know, they wouldn't believe even if they saw and heard such things. And these here were seeing the Lord Jesus Christ with their own eyes risen from the dead. And they were about to hear what he had to say. And yet still some were doubting. It's possible here. You know, it's possible even here in a Christian gathering. We know there's many wonderful churches represented here. Some of your fathers or uncles might be pastors of your churches where you are, or friends, and you've known them for years. And yet even here, it's possible there are some still doubting. Some who still are not able to join in with the throng of worship because they're too busy doubting. They might open their mouths and sound might come out when we sing hymns, and they might even say amen when there's a prayer, and they might look very attentive when the word is preached, and yet still in the mind there's doubts. Doubts, maybe because you know some people who call themselves Christians who aren't really Christians. And they give Christians a bad name, and therefore you're thinking, well, how can the gospel be true? How can this Jesus be who he says he is if they call themselves disciples and do what they do? And I really hope there's no one here who's you know, that kind of bad example, who doesn't give Christians the correct name we should have as disciples of Jesus, followers, people who die to self and live for Christ. The word disciple simply means someone who follows their master, who in obedience they follow. And it's impossible to be a Christian and not follow Christ. It's so obvious, isn't it? But we all know people who call themselves Christians who don't really follow Christ. They're not really following at all. They're following perhaps an idea of who they want Christ to be, or maybe they just try and fit in the Christian message into their life, and so long as it fits in that groove of their life, they'll go along with it. But as soon as Christ wants to lead them in another direction and they don't want to go in that direction, well, then they try and go in both directions for a time until they do the spiritual splits, and that can get really ugly. And perhaps some of you know what I'm talking about there. Happened to me big time. So I want to first of all encourage any of you here who might have doubts, maybe because of bad examples from others, maybe because you think, well, how can Christians disagree on things like creation? You know, and maybe things like that. You might think, well, if the Spirit is in all Christians, then why doesn't he help them to agree in all things regarding the truth? And these are big questions. And you can talk to us about that even tonight to help you resolve perhaps that doubt, if that's a doubt. And maybe some of you just have fear, just good old fashioned fear. And maybe you're thinking, well, why do I still fear death? You know, why will I not trust the Lord Jesus with my death day? You know, we like to celebrate our birthday, don't we? But we're not looking forward to our death day in the same way. We should. It'll be the most wonderful day. It'd be better than all your birthdays combined. And as a young Christian once said, when we first went to this particular church, we'd just arrived after a wonderful old saint, a lady died. And we just saw her a few times. And me and this friend, when she heard that this old lady died, she said, oh, how wonderful. She's had her glory day. And I thought, that's such a lovely phrase. That's what it is. When a Christian dies, it's their glory day. It's their day they leave this sad, sorry earth and go into glory. And what a wonderful day that is. Even though the body might do some strange things here on earth, the soul is with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is the hope, the Christian hope. But maybe some here have a doubt that that really is the reality. There was a wonderful preacher called Douglas Macmillan, and some might have heard of him. He was in Scotland. He was a shepherd of sheep for about 12 years, and the Lord called him from the Highlands to shepherd the flock of Christ. And he had a very godly father, and he loved his father. His father's very well known. He was a bit of an early 20th century, kind of a hippie in a way. He had long grey hair, but a wonderful man of God, and people just used to love to hear him preach, loved him pray, and Douglas loved his father greatly. And he always looked up to his father. Anyway, the day came when the father called him into his study. And Douglas went and said, you know, what is it? And he said, I've got to tell you a secret. And he said, well, what's that? Because he knew his father had been ill for some time. And he said, well, you know what? All my life, I have never doubted the grace of God. Not for anything. And he said, well, that's no secret, Dad. I know that's true. You know, I've seen that in your life, my whole life. I've gained great strength from that witness. And he said, no, that's not the secret bit. I know you know that. I'm just telling you. It's just beginning the story. Shut up. And so Douglas said, okay, well, what's the secret bit? And he said, this is the secret bit. I've always, my whole life, feared death. And the son couldn't believe it. He said, what do you mean? I thought you're such a strong, godly, righteous man. How could you have feared death of all people? And he said, well, you see, the problem was, I never doubted the grace of God in the days of my life. But I just didn't have that grace for the day to die. But today, I have that grace. God has given me that grace today, because today I'm going to die. And you see, his problem was, he always wanted the grace to die when it was still time to live. But when the day to die came, the grace sufficient came. And that really spoke powerfully to Douglas as he went on in his ministry. And that day his father died with the grace sufficient to enter into the presence of Almighty God. So maybe some of you are doubting in that way. Hang on. If you haven't got the grace to die today, guess what? Maybe you don't need the grace to die today. Maybe you need the grace to live today. And looking at all your rosy cheeks, I think a lot of you have had it already, and that's great. And there's a bit more grace yet, because it's not yet midnight. So don't worry so much. Don't doubt about that. So you see, many were there worshipping and just enthralled in this worship, when others were doubting all sorts of things. Is this really the Lord Jesus? Is he the one that we had listened to before and followed? Is he the one who said he's going to die, but we didn't quite get it? Is he really risen again? And these were some of the doubts of the believers. Well, then the Lord said something so wonderful, which really should have dispelled all their doubts. And he said in verse 18, Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now that should really have dispelled all doubts. Wow. The risen Messiah, the Son, the eternal Son of God, who had come from heaven to earth to redeem, to save a special people for his own glory and for the glory of the Father. He had come and he had done that. And he was about to go back to the Father, mission accomplished, everything necessary for the salvation of every single person he would ever save in all time, in all cultures, with all different languages and in different nations. He had done everything that was necessary. It was amazing. And he's about to go to glory, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Now, some of you might be scared of ghosts. Is anyone here scared? You don't have to put your hand up. You have. Okay, that's okay. Some are scared of ghosts. You don't have to be scared of ghosts. Do you know why? They don't exist. And I know for a fact, because I also know the second part for a fact. Ghosts don't exist, but demons do, and they're much worse. Okay? So you don't need to fear ghosts, because a ghost might be a dead one that comes back to life just to mess with your mind, but they don't exist. But demons do. And they're greatly more powerful. And you have to watch out for those a little bit. But you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about encountering them. If you're a Christian, you cannot be possessed by a demon. If you're not a Christian, you can. But if you're a Christian, you can't, because the Holy Spirit has moved in. It would need a greater spirit, more powerful, to cast him out for a lesser spirit to come in. So if you're a Christian, you cannot be possessed by the devil, by any kind of a demon. But they are real. They are out there, perhaps even here. But we don't need to doubt and fear, because Jesus has all authority. That's even over the demonic world, even over the Lord of the flies, Satan himself, Beelzebub. Jesus has authority over all those fallen angels. that Jesus created. He made them and they fell, and he has reserved a place in hell for them. They're not in hell yet, but they will be. Jesus has all authority, so we can trust him. And he goes on to say, therefore, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations. Now we, you know, you might have heard a lot based on the go bit, and some of you might have heard a lot about the make disciples bit, and some people make too much of the go or too less of the go, and we need to try and get all this in balance. You know, the going is to be actively involved in making disciples. That's, and yes, you do have to go, but how far do you have to go? Does anyone know? How far do you have to go? Well, there you are. That's wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And if you don't go next door, maybe no one will, you know? I mentioned this just the other Sunday. You weren't there, so I'll mention it again, just briefly. Stuart Olliott. Heard of him?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful, gracious, godly man. And I've been privileged to brush shoulders with him a couple of times in an airport in Holland, strangely. That was my first encounter. But I've had a few others since, in his little conservatory, which is kind of 2 meters by 1.5. Very cozy, but quite intimidating being next to a great man like that. But you see, he's written many books. You can catch him on YouTube. He's been a conference speaker around the world. He's pastored several churches in Liverpool, in Wales, in Switzerland, as well as helped out. And he's a wonderful fellow. And he's been used to reach the thousands. But you know what he's doing right now? Does anybody know? One or two know. He's looking after his wife. His ministry is downstairs or upstairs. Looking after his wife. That's his ministry. The Lord's used him to reach the thousands. And now he's reaching the one. And he says, what an honor to look after one for whom Christ died. What a privilege to have one as precious as this to look after. And he will look after her for as many years it takes. She's not very well. She's got a kind of a dementia, and he's willing to put all of these great conferences to one side to focus on his wife. Is that any less important, perhaps, do you think? Is he maybe wasting his gifts? Not at all. The Lord is using him greatly. And even so doing, he's still making a disciple of his wife, you see. Now, the Lord tells us with all authority, that is what we need to do, to go to wherever. And it's between you and the Lord and you elders and perhaps a mission or two to try and help you to know how far to go. But you all must go. You know, you cannot be a Christian and not go. It's impossible. You just can't. It's like being a Milky Bar kid and not having Milky Bars. You just can't do that. You know, they kind of come together. So where you're going to go is very important to think about. Where are you going to go? And I really want to hear about this. You know, I want to be listening to reading the prayer pointers of GBM and listening to the Soundwave program and hearing about you lot and what you're doing. Yeah. Now and in the future as well, where you're going to go. And some of you have no idea where you're going to go yet. And like I said, that's exciting for us to hear about it. And we might hear before you do. And that's really strange when that happens, but it does happen. But the Lord is going to send you and you are going to go. You must go. But you know what some of you are going to do? Guess. You're going to doubt. You will. Some of you are actually born again Christians who are going to doubt. As if Jesus doesn't have all authority in heaven and on earth. That's what you're going to do. And shame on you. I can tell you off now. I'm going to be the first one to tell you off. Shame on you. And I'll let the second person to tell you off be St. Stud is perhaps a grandfather I never meant, but C.T. Studd, I have known, not by correspondence, although I've read what he's written. He hasn't read what I've written yet, but he will in glory. One thing he wrote in The Chocolate Soldier, and one or two might have read that, Chocolate Soldier, came out a little while ago. I've ordered it on Amazon. I live in the Amazon, but I still have to order things via the Amazon, and it's going to arrive tomorrow morning. I haven't read it yet, but I have read this quote. Now listen, doubters, okay? If you're not a doubter, just think of something else. No one has graduated far in God's school who has not been paid the compliment
of being called a fanatic. We Christians of today are indeed a tepid crew. Had we but half the fire and enthusiasm of the suffragettes of the past, we would have the world evangelized and back among us in no time. Had we the pluck and heroism of the Battle of Britain pilots, of the men who go on expeditions and climb Everest, or any daredevil enterprise, we could have every soul on earth knowing the name of Jesus Christ in less than 10 years. Alas, what stirs ordinary men's blood and turns them into heroes makes most Christians run like a flock of frightened sheep. Militants daily risk their lives in furtherance of their particular cause and subscribe with their means in a way that cries shame on us Christians. You still going to doubt? He's told you off there big time, hasn't he? We have to take these things on board. You know, it's not always for someone else. It's not always about someone else. Sometimes it's about you. And sometimes you really have to let that sink in a little tiny bit. Before Jesus, in his presence there on that day, in Matthew 28, were two categories of people, worshippers and doubters. Today, in this location, there are two types of people, worshippers and doubters. Some of you are worshipping, and we've heard it, and we've seen it, and we rejoice in it. And I don't know you well enough to know who the doubters are, but there are some, I'm sure of it. Yeah. Non-Christian doubters, doubting the gospel, please do not leave this place. I would even say don't lay your head down tonight. Before you've spoken to someone, perhaps a godly man or godly woman here who can help one more time explain the gospel, one more time help you with your doubts. And then we can rejoice in your salvation. If God is so gracious to save you, and he doesn't have to, he will be glorified in sending you to hell. Okay, you must know that. You will not rob him of his glory if he casts you into hell. He will be greatly glorified as the Christian church sees his justice and we see his holiness and his glory revealed in that way. But he will also be glorified through every single person he saves and takes to glory and renews and who worships him for eternity. So please, the doubters of the Christian faith, do not dare to lay your head down on your pillow or on the hard grass, wherever you're sleeping, before you very seriously think about where you are going to spend eternity, how you are going to glorify God, eternally in hell or eternally in heaven, which will be on earth. I'll explain that later if you'd like. Think that through very profoundly. This is a wonderful opportunity. Look how many wonderful Christians are here and mature men and women who have many years of testimony. They can tell you about God's faithfulness. But then there's those doubters who are Christians, but doubtful about what they're going to do for the Lord. Well, please, listen to C.T. Studd if you want to listen to me. Do not let people in the world shout shame upon you. They're willing to blow themselves up, some of them. That is nutty. Well, they'll do that because they believe in what they're doing. Are you willing to die for Christ? You know? If not, well, think that through carefully. Why not? Is your life more precious to you than your love for God? So please, I want to encourage you. I hope some of you are encouraged. But more so from the Lord than from me. As he says, and surely, I'm with you, always. Some of you are going to have a little tiny depression when you leave here. Okay, it will happen to some of you. Because you've so enjoyed being here and you're in this safe place, a happy place. This is your happy place, okay? But when you leave this happy place, you'll be amongst nasty people, some of you, and it's going to be hard, really hard. You want to pray with someone and they won't want to pray with you. You want to share something from the Word and they won't want to hear about that. And you want to go to church and they want to go somewhere else. And you're going to have this going on. That's going to be difficult. We won't be here for you. Unless you go to each other's churches. But the Lord says, I am with you. Okay? Now you remember that. That's your happy place. Conscious of the presence of the risen, glorious, victorious Lord Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth.
Let's pray. Almighty God, I wouldn't dare to say these things if they did not come from your word. We can proclaim loud and clear that Jesus has all authority. And that pleases you, Father, for us to claim that. That's what your word has revealed to us. We thank you that it's true. We do not need to fear man, nor demon, nor death, nor hell, nor anything. If we're in Jesus Christ, if we're saved by the one who has all authority. Lord, please use even tonight to help some of those doubts fly away and never come back. Oh, strengthen. First of all, Lord, please have mercy and save any here who as yet do not know you. How awful to have come this close to the presence of Jesus and leave sad, like that rich young ruler. How awful. All the riches on earth could not give the pleasure and the joy and the happiness and the peace that comes even to the poorest Christian. And then, Lord, for those who still doubt what they can do, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, well, Lord, please, even use these days and tonight for us to talk about what gifts might be and what calling might be. And, well, we pray that people might leave this place more sure of the way forward, of how they can be involved in making disciples, in going however far necessary to do that. Please, God, do not let this short message have been in vain, but use it to glorify your Son in the lives of your people. Amen.